Him. What a wonderful privilege prayer is in our lives. I think many of us take it for granted all the time, all week long.
Given us an invitation to come before Him at any time and talk and visit and give Him our needs and our burdens and our trials and our problems and our praises and to give Him the glory. It is such a wonderful privilege. And yet, we don't take advantage of it enough. We can pray to Him because He says He's listening. He's always ready for us. Yet, isn't it strange that though we have this gracious invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace, so few of us do? Isn't it sad that even though we've been commanded to pray, very few of us actually found a few minutes to spend time with Him alone this last week? Last Sunday, I introduced our theme for this month, In Everything by Prayer, by having you look with me to the model prayer, Jesus' prayer, and to see what surrounds that familiar prayer, those words we know so well. And He taught us in that passage that prayer works when it's not hypocritical. He said that. Don't think you can come before my Father in heaven and just say things to Him when your heart's not in it and you're acting, you sound like the Pharisees, He said. Prayer that works is prayer that isn't hypocritical. Second, Jesus said, it's not repetitious. Don't just say things over and over again and memorize lines and then just get caught up in that alone. Don't do that, He said. That's what so many of you do around me and the Pharisees do. Don't do that. Your prayers don't get far. Prayer that works is not repetitious and repeating all the same words all the time. And third, Jesus said, prayer that works doesn't harbor anything against another. You got to take care of things with God first. You got to meet with Him. You got to admit your life and what's going on in your heart. That's what Jesus insisted. Prayer that works is prayer that doesn't harbor something against some friend in Christ. And I need to take care of that. I don't know if you did this week. I did. We all need to. Things that are going on in our hearts and lives and people around us, God wants us to take care of those things. Jesus said that. And then He said, pray like this, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. This morning, I'd like to answer the question introduced so well a few moments ago by Jared. How does God answer prayer? You might remember in the course of a conversation with three friends, a guy named Job stated that the wicked have no regard for God and no use for prayer. Here's what he said. Job 21:15. Listen to this. What is the Almighty that we should serve Him, and what profit should we have if we really pray to Him? It's a good question. What profit is there to pray to Him? You know, those without a personal relationship with God this morning, with the Creator, with our Savior, have no confidence in God, don't even understand what prayer really is, and they see no value in it at all. A few days ago, I was at the hospital visiting a few folks and went to a room of a friend in the community. I do not know, but I do not think he's a member of the family of God by his faith at all. I don't know. But I went to see him. I know him. He's a friend. And after a very brief discussion, I asked for permission to pray. May I pray for you? And his answer was, well, I guess it can't hurt. See, that's what Job is saying. That's what the writers of Scripture say. The world outside of Christ, like you and me, who know Him in a personal way, prayer is just a religious thing. It's something you rattle off that can't hurt. I tell you, it helps. And you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ here this morning, with a relationship with Him that's growing and dependent on Him day by day, we know that is our declaration of dependence on God. We can go to Him in prayer. We can talk to Him. It's real. It's amazing. It's exciting. It's promising. Wonderful. Elijah prayed and fire came down. You remember that? The offering on the altar was consumed and the prophets of Baal were destroyed because he prayed. Paul and Silas prayed in prison and the foundations were shaken and the doors were opened and the chains of prisoners were loosened because they prayed. Hannah, you were right, Jared. Hannah prayed and God gave her a son. Now, even though we read all that in the Scripture and we know those stories, they're great stories. I mean, they're just amazing people, aren't they? Who depended on God in ways I don't sometimes understand completely. They're just the greats. They do amazing things in the Scripture, and we read about them. And they prayed, and God answered prayers. And even though we know those stories are true, and yes, that happened to Hannah, and that happened to Paul, and all the others, sometimes it seems to me like God's not listening to me. Sometimes it feels like I wonder if he really hears me. That's my humanness. And you're in the same place. Sometimes we feel like our prayers get nowhere. They stop right there at the ceiling. And I don't know if he's hearing me and listening to me. I sometimes wonder. I read about the greats and their prayers and what happened. And what about me, Lord? I don't always feel like he's listening. Even our desperate cries for help seem like they're unheard. If God does hear, God does answer prayer, how can we explain those occasions when nothing seems to happen? When there's, well, no apparent answer, and when our problems seem to increase rather than decrease. You know what I mean? Well, I believe the answer is here in the Word. And I believe the answer is the fact that God does hear us, but that He answers us in different ways. And yes, let's think of those three. The kids said them this morning. First of all, God may answer yes. You know what? I love it when He answers yes. Do you? I love it. I get so excited and I give Him the glory and I yes. Thank you, God. I prayed about that and you answered yes. Let me show you a wonderful example. Did you bring your Bible this morning? I'm going to ask you to turn in the Old Testament to 2 Kings chapter 20. What a great story this is in your Old Testament. 2 Kings, way back there in the history of God's people, 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1. Just listen to this story. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord," now listen, "set your house in order, you will die and not live." That was the message. Set your house in order. Get things right at home. And then he turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember me, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him saying this, "Return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer." Of course he heard his prayer. God hears every prayer. "I have heard your prayer and I have seen your tears, and behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake.
That's a dramatic yes to a prayer. When the word already was, you will die. I have heard your prayer, and I've seen your tears, and I've read your heart, and I am choosing to answer yes. Now, we can't be completely certain exactly what Hezekiah was saying. We certainly don't know what was going on in here, but it just looks to me, from what I read, that he was sincere and he prayed for healing. And God healed him. God answered that prayer. I'm convinced. And he did more than that, didn't he? He extended his life another 15 years and he said, I'll help you there and there and there. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. I have read your heart. And my answer is yes. Maybe you remember the way Paul put it, I think, so beautifully in Ephesians when he told the church in Ephesus, God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Exceedingly, abundantly, more than you can even think or ask. God wants to do that. What a comfort it is to know that God answers prayer and that sometimes, thank you, Lord, he says yes. He says yes. With immediate and even miraculous results. You know what? We serve the same God this morning that they did. He hasn't changed. He still wants to hear the prayers of his people. Day after day, morning after morning, and often he wants to hear his children. And he wants to say yes. But as our kids, boy, they had the right answer, didn't they, Jared, right away? I mean, you said, you know, they say yes. He says yes. What else? No. Sometimes God says no to what I've requested. There are times when he, according to his infinite wisdom, refuses to grant my desire. And he may do so for a number of reasons. Here are just a few. If the one who is praying is an unbeliever, for example, there's no assurance that God will give him the desires of his heart. He doesn't know him. The man who was blind in the New Testament and ultimately was healed by Christ spoke the truth in John 9:31 and said, "We know that God does not hear sinners, but if one is a worshiper of the true God and does his will, he hears him." See? Second, I don't think we can expect that our prayers are going to be answered unless we're living in fellowship with our Lord Jesus. It was my Lord who said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will, and it shall be done to you." If you abide with me, if you're with me, we're together on this. We're going and growing together. I'm your Savior. I'm your Lord. And you know that, and I know that, and we're together. You abide in me. Then ask what you will. And sometimes he answers no to my prayers because I have the wrong motive. You know that? You ever thought of that? Sometimes my motive is... yours too, is wrong. James said, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motive so that you may spend it on your own pleasures." Sometimes our prayers receive a negative reply because they are not in line with God's will and purpose. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will,
He hears us, and it stands to reason then that my Father knows best. I can trust Him because my Father knows best. And if I'm asking for something that is not in accordance with His sovereign will and understanding of the purposes of the universe and my life, then He will not grant the request because He knows that's not best. He may say no when we ask, but it's always for our benefit. But it's still an answer to our prayer. Okay, you're in the Old Testament. Go to the New Testament, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And some of you already know exactly what this is all about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, a really good man. I believe a godly apostle who knew the Lord Jesus in a beautiful and personal way says this in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself. See that? Underscore that. Remember that. Paul admits that to keep me from exalting myself. And I thought, you know, that's so true, Paul. That's so often a part of my prayer, day after day after day, is just selfishness. It's what I want. It's what I want to see happen. It's the way I believe things should work out. And I think I know best, Father. No, I don't. Even one of the greats, Paul, said, to keep me from exalting myself, to keep ego out of this thing, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. There it is again. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. You know what? If you study other passages of the Apostle Paul, you will discover that Paul had a gift of healing. God used him often to heal others. And yet here he is, concerning this thing, we don't know what it is. Silly to try to guess. Something that he felt was working against him. And he prayed three times that God would take care of that. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content. Therefore, I will accept this weakness. Insults, distresses, persecutions, difficulties, and he had a lot of them. They're listed elsewhere. For Christ's sake, because you know what? When I'm weak, I'm strong in Him. God has something to teach me about prayer. And sometimes He says, no. To keep me from exalting myself, He says, no. David, you have something to learn in this. I will show you something. You will grow in this. You will mature because of this. And my answer is no. But the Father met his need and gave him grace to bear up with this affliction and to grow with this affliction and glorify God. And don't forget that sometimes God will say no to our request because he wants to substitute something better or more meaningful to me. A few weeks ago, when you ordered that Christmas present online, and I understand from the news that a lot of you did, a lot of people go and shop that way. You may have seen the words at the bottom of the order form on your screen. If we don't have the article you ordered in stock, may we substitute something better at our expense? Click! That's a pretty good idea. If we can't find that in your size, well, in the color you wanted? Can we substitute something better at our expense? Yes. Yes. When we pray to God, it would be wise to click yes on the bottom of our order form. Here I am again, Father, indicating our willingness to let Him change our prayers according to His will. We know, don't we, that He could send something better than we even thought. Something exceedingly, abundantly, beyond, above all that we could ask or think. That's what Paul said. Yes, no, and wait. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like it when God says wait. That is, our request, our concern may be right, but the timing is wrong. The Lord knows that the conditions aren't just right, so He puts us in sort of a holding pattern, it seems to me. Now, I think it affects all of us. I really do. We've all had times where we've prayed for the fulfillment of a dream or somebody's special need or salvation for somebody or sickness, and it just seems like we keep praying. I mean, year after year. But God, in His own timing and His very wise plan, chooses to have us wait. In fact, we may still be waiting here this morning for something you've been talking to Him about often. Haven't we done that? I have. Why, Lord? What's this all about? Wait, answer this prayer. Hello? Why do we have to wait? Someday, even maybe in eternity, is when I'll find out God had a master plan. My Father knew best. And in the process of waiting, yes, waiting, I have learned to trust and rest in Him a little more. Sometimes the waiting is good for us because He knows best. God answers prayer. You believe that? Then pray today. Pray this week. Sometimes He's going to say yes and give us what we asked for and even more abundantly beyond what we've asked for. Sometimes the answer, as Paul discovered, is no, because I'm going to grow you, Paul. You're going to depend on me more. And sometimes it's wait. The time's not right. You don't see the best plan, Dave. You don't. You don't see it yet. Now think back to when for some of us it's an awfully long time, but when we were kids. And we asked for things. Because we do. Kids do that all the time. And we didn't get what we wanted then. It's because Dad and Mom knew best. Right? For the most part, it was because they knew that wasn't the right thing, the right time for you and me right now. That's not good for you. Why not? Well, you don't understand. Go to your room. No. Grow up. Well, we had to do that too. I don't understand. My dad used to say, because I said so, when he got tired of trying to answer that. I said so. You know what? That's our Father in heaven, ultimately. He can't. Think about how difficult it must be for an infinite God to try to explain this stuff to us, who mess things up so royally all the time. Dave, you don't understand. Wait. I love you. I hear you. I'll take care of you. You'll know later. Better. In everything, by prayer, because my Father knows best. Let's pray. Father, we're talking about prayer. We're going to pray right now. We're going to pray. Lord, I'm going to ask your Holy Spirit to be so at work in our hearts right now that we're having an individual worship service with you. We may have come this morning not thinking about how that was going to work, but and just busy getting everybody here. But now that I'm here, I take this moment with my friends in Christ, and we talk with you for a moment. Hear us. I know you do. Hear us. For just a minute, please listen to your kids. Praises, needs, concerns. Hear us and answer us. We believe you know best. Hear us now. Let's pray.